Hey guys, it's Annika and Jude, and we are back with another episode of The Truth of Youth.
It has been a long time since we did an episode, so we have a lot to catch up on. Annika, what have you been up to?
Oh, well, first we should start off by saying that we are in person today for the first
Yes.
time in basically like a year. We haven't tried this in a bit, but Jude and I haven't seen each other. And so we thought it'd be a fun way to hang out and then also record the podcast. It's like a
Yeah.
two-in-one type thing. But this summer, oh gosh, I was gone for 4 weeks at a journalism program at Northwestern, which is super fun but very intense. And then I went to the Olympics 2 weeks a week ago in Paris, which was great. I saw like the end bit. So that's kind of the inspo for today's episode. But what about you?
Well, I mean, it's been pretty packed summer. So I went straight from rowing nationals to Spain, where I spent a month in Spain doing Spanish school. Then I went to England. I visited to some family, and I went to my grandfather's retirement party because he was a member of parliament for 45 years. And then I flew back to the US for like a couple of days, and then I went to Mexico because my parents wanted a vacation because they've been working all summer. So, I was just like, oh, of course I'll go. I swam in like bioluminescence. So like, when the water glows around you, I did that and it was like so cool. It was like I was like had to like memorize it because I never wanted to like forget it because it was so cool. Like you'd move your arms and like the water would just like glow around
Wait, what
you.
causes that again? I feel like we talked about that.
It's like it's plankton and like it's animal plankton and then a plant one, but it's like an enzyme that reacts with the oxygen to make them glow. And then I'm back here and I'm, getting ready to face senior year.
Yeah, I think we have 2 weeks until school starts, and obviously senior year means college apps and everything, but I'm excited. It's our last year. But yeah, so today's episode, as I mentioned, I took some inspiration from the Olympics, and I think that every year there's sort of like some sort of, I don't want to say scandals, but almost like controversies that happen, and then you can discuss them. So I picked four for today that I thought were kind of interesting, and a lot of them, it's not necessarily like a right or wrong or like debate type thing. It's just kind of interesting to talk about them. So yeah, with that, Jude, are you ready to get started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so the first person that we are going to talk about is Emaan Khalif, and she is a boxer. And just for some context, the scandal with this during the Olympics was that, and I think it was a past, was a world championship. She tested for higher levels of testosterone, but it was kind of like a shady thing. There wasn't exact proof that this happened. It was like kind of on the down low, but people heard about it. She came to the Olympics, ended up winning gold, but then you've got like really notable people like Logan Paul, JK Rowling, Elon Musk, and Donald Trump all kind of calling her out on different social media platforms, being like, why should she be able to compete with the women if she has these elevated levels of testosterone, even though that wasn't necessarily proven and she didn't take a test at the Olympics? So that's kind of been like the scandal here. And it ended up being that she is filing a lawsuit, claiming it as like cyberbullying online, because it really obviously did get to her mental health when people are saying that she doesn't deserve to compete with the women because they're almost deeming her as not a woman.
People tried to claim that she was faking to be a woman as well. I saw a lot of like people trying to say that like she must be like a man pretending to be a woman. I saw some crazy claims actually, just like the people had like taken off things like X and like threads even that I'd seen. It was like these crazy allegations that people were pulling out of thin air. And just because I don't know, there was something about, I don't know, it was just like people had taken against her and there wasn't really any justification for it. And it was actually quite sad to see because these athletes who have trained for years and years deserve to be celebrated, especially winning like the Olympics, because it's the Olympics. You know what I'm saying? Like that's like a something you're going to remember for the rest of your life. And I just think that, a reaction like that must taint it because you got this gold medal and so many people are telling you you don't deserve it.
Exactly. And it's also like the fact that there's not indisputable proof that she does actually have higher levels of testosterone. And let's even say she did take a test during the Olympics. Let's say the Olympics now mandates a test or something like that. If she did test for higher levels of testosterone, that does not make her a man, because she doesn't have a Y chromosome. She doesn't have like the SRY gene on that Y chromosome. She has higher levels of a hormone. So I think that there's a conversation that has to be had about, okay, if there are women who have higher levels of testosterone, what does that mean in terms of their competing in the Olympics? Because I did a little bit of research. I mean, you're more into bio, so I'm sure you can speak more about this than I can. But like, what does it even mean if you have higher levels of testosterone? Like, what can that result in? And some of it is like, you know, hair, like facial hair, things like that, like maybe a deeper voice. And then there is a possibility for having like more muscle. That's something that can happen to some women, but it doesn't happen to all women who have higher levels of testosterone. So because there are so many variable outcomes in terms of what could happen if you have an increased amount of this hormone, it's kind of like, how could you ever be like, if you have higher levels of testosterone, you can't compete? Because you don't know what the result
is. There's also a lot like that, like, is in, for example, some women do just have naturally higher testosterone levels, number one. And number two, isn't part of being an athlete a fact that you were just born with like some sort of like physical advantage over other people? Because not everyone can be an Olympic athlete, you know what I'm saying? So maybe if you have slightly higher testosterone levels that your body naturally produces and you're a bit stronger, or like a lot stronger, that's how you want. It's like how, like what, like someone who does like pole vault might be tall or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like people pursue different things because they have different advantages, and that's just like part of the Olympics. If people can't take losing, then that's their own fault. Also, you don't go into a boxing expecting not to be hit hard, which was, I think, part of the thing that really spurred it on was the Italian boxer who she was in the final against, like got hit once and like forfeit, didn't she? Because she was like, has been like, oh, like I had never been hit like that. But like, that was the final match. Like that wasn't this person's first opponent. It seems it to me, that almost seems like, I mean, I don't know, like obviously I'm not a boxer, so I can't speak to how much it hurts. But like, I, there's something about forfeiting, which I feel like to an extent makes it feel like you didn't win in the same way, which you like should have, you know?
100%.
And I feel like that also set it off, because people want to like, they're like, oh, like look at this poor woman who had to forfeit. Like no one forced her to forfeit. She chose to forfeit.
Yeah. And I definitely think that that woman probably had some biases going into this, like thinking, oh, she has higher levels of testosterone. Because again, like this, finding out that she had these higher levels, this was discovered at World Championships a couple of years ago. So everyone had preconceived notions going in. So if she suddenly gets hit really hard, instead of saying like, oh, this might just be a really strong woman, she's like, this is because of her high testosterone levels. When in reality, we don't even know if she has high testosterone, and if she does, we don't know if that resulted in her having like more muscle mass. Like we honestly just don't know. So again, like obviously I think it's a really difficult situation for this boxer, and especially the backlash that she's received from really notable people all online. And like, there are people who look up to these, like I'm not necessarily one person who looks up to Donald Trump, but there are people who do. And if you have Donald Trump saying like, oh, this woman should not be allowed to compete, you know, you're going to amass like a following of people who also agree with that. So you kind of have just like a herd mentality that this woman did not deserve her gold medal, which is completely untrue.
Yeah. And it was just kind of sad to see like an athlete like not being celebrated. And also just like the so much hate that it was like, you don't know this person and you're using like baseless evidence that you think that you know that you don't. It's like people just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was like not, I feel like it was not like the brightest moment.
It wasn't
like human spirit.
And I feel like people just don't necessarily understand what having high levels of testosterone means. Like that doesn't mean that you're intersex either. Cause I feel like some people like might conflate the two. Like that's not what it means at all. Like she does not have male sex organs. Like that's
also like women also like, it's like men produce estrogen.
Exactly. Estrogen
and women produce testosterone. So
yeah. Like, she's not producing something that women don't have. She's just producing maybe a little bit more of that. We don't even know how much more.
And even then we're not 100% sure about that, because like the first test wasn't even like it wasn't clear enough that people actually know what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like that was like part of the whole idea of like why it was so ridiculous that she was being treated in that way.
Yeah. And I really hope that the Olympics doesn't like enforce testosterone tests now, because I think that that's absolutely ridiculous. Like this is a hormone that everyone naturally produces. And I think to monitor how much of a hormone you're producing, like it's ridiculous. But yeah. All right. Do you want to move on to our next person?
Well, can we do Raygun first? Because I really want to talk about Raygun. That was ridiculous.
You should explain. I think most people know, especially if you're on social media, about Raygun and this breakdancer, but you can explain.
So basically, they just added breakdancing. Interesting idea. And I'm not quite sure how you judge things like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of the synchronized swimming I can see, because a lot of it is athleticism.
It is,
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, pushing someone up out of the water, like, while not being able to touch the bottom is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And like holding breath, that I can see like being judged, diving, like splash, like form, stuff like that. But like breakdancing just doesn't have those parameters that other things have. So it's kind of hard to judge, period. So it's like, we don't have dance in the Olympics, really. It's not like we have like ballet that people are like looking at and things like that. So I don't know why breakdancing suddenly became like, they're like, let's do this, you know? But so obviously you have to like qualify, but from Australia, this like, I think she was trained in ballroom dancing, number one. Was like a teacher, what she was like, her professor.
She was a professor.
She was a professor at a university. qualified for the Olympics as a breakdancer and then arrived and I think came like dead last.
She got a score of zero.
She got a score of zero because she didn't do breakdancing. She did like interpretive dance to like an Australian song. And it was like so hard to watch because it wasn't breakdancing. Like I was what I'd watched, like for reference, I wanted to see what the other breakdancers were doing. So I went and watched like other, like the men and the women compete. And it would be like crazy. People were spinning on their heads. People were doing like basically like gymnastics, yeah, but as like a dance move. And then she did like, was doing like nothing. It was like not, it was like non-athletic movements. Like it was not impressive. I was like, I could have done this. Like doing like the most like weird movements that had nothing to do with breakdancing whatsoever. And then got like innumerable amounts of like not hate, but like more like just people making fun of her for looking stupid, because it was stupid. Because you wonder, there must, like, Australia is a big country and I guarantee to you there's someone who can breakdance in that country, but like she can't breakdance, she wasn't doing breakdancing, so I don't understand why she was in the Olympics. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I heard, so I did like a deep dive on this and I found a bunch of conspiracy theories, because people are like, okay, in order to qualify for Olympics, you have to go to like the qualifiers in your home country. And obviously she came in first in order to qualify. But some people have been like, okay, her husband was a judge and it was one of the judges for these like qualifiers, and he was the one who pushed her to first and then she could go to the Olympics. Or there's all sorts of conspiracies that she somehow like manipulated her way to get first so that she could go on to the Olympics. And a lot of them have been disproven. Like the one about her husband being a judge was completely disproven. Like there's factual evidence saying that that's just not true. But it does make you question, for somebody that bad to make it to the Olympics, there has to be something shady going on. Like there's
no, it just doesn't make sense, because like people, like also there's people, like it just like that it that it it's like statistically I feel like almost impossible that there can't be like another good breakdancer in Australia. There's too many people in that country for someone to would like have not be able to actually do it, you know what I'm saying?
And the second place person in the qualifiers before the Olympics apparently was very good. Like there was some, I didn't see any videos or anything, so I don't know if they necessarily televise these types of events, but apparently she was good, but somehow Reagan made it to first. And it's like, I guess you could think that it's the judge's fault, you know, if they saw something in here and they thought that it was very good. Because again, this is the type of thing that
it's so subjective.
It's subjective. I don't know how they judge it. Like, I guess there's like the same thing with difficulty. Like if you do some move on your head, like that gets you X number of points. I'm not exactly sure how it works. But then again, if she got a score of zero, that means that it is subjective. Like it was subjective. They didn't like it. So I think that in sports like this, it's really difficult to judge. And like, even in artistic gymnastics, it's like, there's not as much subjectivity to it. Like, you know, there's like a point, a tenth of a point deduction for this. There's a tenth of a point deduction for that. Like there's parameters set in place so that, you know, like around, you know, there's parameters set in place for your score. But for breakdancing, like, because it's so new, I just feel like nobody exactly knew what to expect. And then when this happened, it was like the internet went wild, especially TikTok. Like I was telling my dad this, I saw like a whole trend of people being like, give me one shot of tequila and I can bring home the gold for us.
No, exactly. I saw people like doing her dance.
Yeah.
Like and then being there like, someone like, get me a gold medal like right now. Because it was like people who don't dance doing exactly what she did, which shouldn't be possible. The whole point of going to the Olympics is that you're doing something that literally no one else in your country can do, because like you're the best at it, you know?
I think it was embarrassing for Australia, because like you're representing your country, and I'm not saying that people are going to look at your country the same way they look at you, but you were fully representing them. She was like chosen from Australia to represent in this new competition, which could be like a make or break thing. Like, wow, if you win gold in breakdancing, which is a completely new sport, I know it's not happening next year, like that's a big deal. Like that could mean a lot for your country. But no, instead she kind of made a mockery of it. And I think that people might look down on Australia now. Which brings me to my next point, that they are not doing breakdancing next year at the Olympics. Would you agree with that decision or no?
I think it was silly in the first place. Yeah. I don't understand what the, I just don't think that you can have at the Olympics, especially a competition of something that's that subjective. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, you have dance competitions and all of these things. And I think that that's great, but there's a reason why it's been like separate from the Olympics. And it's because the Olympics is a place of like athleticism and like skill in a way that I don't think apply. I'm not saying that there isn't skill and athleticism in dance, but it's like an objective skill and athleticism in the Olympics. It's like it's measurable, it's quantitative. And I don't think dance, I think the whole point of dance is that it's not that. And I don't think you can add, for that reason, I don't think that you can factor it into a competition that's centered around that kind of thing.
And that's how it makes you feel. Like, there's an emotional aspect of this, because a lot of people consider it like a sport and an art, and I'm one of those people. Like, I do think it's a sport, but it's also like how it makes you feel, like whatever the audience feels, because so much of it is artistic, and it's like that's not getting factored into your, like, your judgment. You're not thinking about how it makes you feel, or the art, like the artistry behind it. Like, you're thinking about solely like, did this move, like, you know, you have to think objectively about it, and I think that's really hard for any type of dance.
Like, there's no doubt that dance is like an impressive thing to do, and is also just like definitely athletic. Like, that's what I'm saying. I just don't think that it's a very subjective thing, and what people, and like what you feel about it is gonna differ drastically from what one judge thinks about it, let alone like multiple. You know,
I mean, that being said, the fact that all three of them gave her zeros is pretty clear.
Like, it says
hers,
a lot.
Like, she should have gotten a zero. I agree with that. Like, hers was bad, and like,
and it wasn't breakdancing. Like, I swear it wasn't breakdancing.
I mean, I do feel a little bad for her, because like, she went online and was like, I worked really hard for this, and like, I've been getting a lot of hate, and like, I do, some of the comments are taking it really far, and I feel bad for her, because like, even if we don't think that she necessarily did a great job, like, you can tell that like, she did genuinely take this seriously, even if it didn't like come off as that. So I think some of the hate is going a little far, and I'm hoping it dies down soon for her sake.
Yeah, but still, it was silly.
It was.
It was a little goof.
All right, so that'll lead us to our next one, which I can explain, which I think this one is probably the most controversial of all of these. So this was Vinesh Phogat. She is an Indian wrestler. And this was the morning of like the finals for wrestling, for women's wrestling. So she was up for the gold, which is like really rare for India to be up for the gold in wrestling. And she weighed in, and she was 0.2 pounds over the weight limit for her class, whatever weight class she was in. And so in terms of the rules, like, she couldn't compete that day, and she was disqualified completely, like, wasn't given silver, like, was not allowed to compete for the gold, and was completely disqualified. So basically, I think she'd known that she was a little bit over a couple days in advance. So she worked with her team, and she was like not consuming as many fluids. She was trimming her costume. She was trimming her hair, anything to lose 0.2. Like, I think she went to the sauna. She was going on the treadmill for multiple hours a day. So at a certain point, it could have been dangerous if she ended up competing after doing all this, because she was not fueling her body. And then the argument that I came across was that, okay, she's a woman. She was in her premenstrual phase. And in this time, that means that you retain body, like, you retain fluids more in this time, just biologically. So a lot of people have been like, okay, she's in this phase. You don't know where other people, other women are in their cycle. And in this aspect of her cycle, like, she's retaining fluid, so it's easier for her to gain weight. So she is getting to this point too, and it's like, okay, she's disqualified, this seems unfair. And then you have another mindset that, okay, what if she just kept her normal weight a little bit lower? Let's say she kept it like maybe a pound lower than what she's normally at, so that she can account for the possible gain of weight during like this time in her cycle, or just if she's drinking too much or eating too much, you know. So that's kind of the controversy with that.
I think that the thing is that it's kind of like, I feel like that could happen to so many people. I mean, could you say factor it in? Yes, but I also don't think that it's, I think that for like most people, and like for anyone, like, it's so, you can't calculate how much fluid you're going to retain during that time. Like, maybe she'd factored it in, and then she would have had something, and she'd retained even more fluid in her body just because of that. Like, I don't think you can factor it in that way. And I think that it's like, you kind of owe it to a woman to understand that that's like, you know, like, a man doesn't have to deal with that. It's a lot simpler. We don't have something that's going to, like, there's not, unless you're like sick or something like that, there's not anything that's going to affect your fluid retention in that same way. And like, in a way that is like impossible to escape, which you can't, like, you know what I'm saying? You can't just be like, well, let me not have my period right now. Exactly. Like, you know?
And like, on one hand, it's like, yeah, she's playing a risky game, because she already was at the top of that weight class, and she was maintaining herself at the top of that weight class, and that gives her an advantage. Like, she's heavier, especially in a sport like wrestling, like, being heavier has its advantages. So by, you know, being kind of on the brink, like, that's a risk that she chose to take. And yes, like, she was over because, maybe because of this fluid retention, maybe because she was drinking or eating too much. But I really still think that there needs to be like a buffer. It doesn't need to be big. It could be 0.2 pounds, maybe above, that you can stay in that, especially for women, just because even if she is maintaining herself towards the upper end of that weight, like that weight limit, she might think, oh, I'm only going to put on 0.1 because of, maybe I'm thinking about like, my period's going to come up in a couple weeks. And like, I'm thinking I'm going to, you know, retain 0.1 pounds. Like, not that she could ever calculate that. Because
0.2 pounds is like 90 grams. It's, so 0.2 pounds is like weighing in and then going and having a really like, and a glass of water and a small glass of water.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's like, that's what 90 grams is. If you think about what 100 milliliters is, that's a small amount.
Yeah. So it's like, she's really not, it's so minimal. And it's like, if you're thinking about the reason they have these weight classes, it's so that you don't, there's nobody has an advantage over somebody else. And you're thinking, is 0.2 pounds really going to make her have an advantage over anyone? No. I understand rules are rules, but I think that you really need to, like, you know, take into consideration that sometimes you cannot control what your body's going to do. It's not, she was not intentionally gaining weight. Like, this was no, there's no malintent in this, as if 2.2 pounds could ever help her. Mm-hmm. It really was like her, it happened to her body. It happened in the fact that she was completely disqualified, not even like allowed to try. Like, I think it's completely ridiculous.
Or like be like, oh, like even it would have been felt more fair if they'd even been like, you have, cause like in like, I know this, it's not the Olympics, but in like other things, they'll be like, if you don't make weight, like you, they give you a certain amount of time to go and try and make weight. You know what I'm saying?
And I, like, she had figured this out a couple days before, so she did have a couple, like, but that wasn't enough time to get down to where she wanted to be. And I also think that we have to think about the fact that she was doing this all to her body right before when she wanted to compete, like, right before the morning of the gold. She really was, like, starving herself and not drinking enough and working out an excessive amount. And if you think, like, if she was well below the weight limit, like, she would never be doing that. Mm-hmm. So, like, if she had gotten to below, like, the weight that she wanted to by doing all this, you can think she's going into a gold medal match having not taken care of her body at all. And, like, that's really dangerous, in my opinion. Like, you would usually think she'd be wanting to sleep and eat, like, a good amount and, like, keep her body rested. But instead, she's going on the treadmill for multiple hours to try and cut down this weight. So, like, the standard put in place that you have to be below this certain weight and there's absolutely no buffer, it can make it dangerous for athletes.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, yeah, it just needs to... I don't know. It just, it feels like a kind of like a sad situation, because it is actually interesting that you feel like, you know, like England gets a lot of medals, but it's like a densely populated country. Like the US is the same way. It's an expansive country, but you guys get a lot of medals, and so does China.
Yeah.
And India actually hasn't. Like, it's, there's a surprisingly small
amount of
athletes who get a medal, let alone gold.
Yeah.
And so you would just think that it would be a good idea to, like, not that the Olympics are that, but it's kind of sad for India.
It's sad for sure. And this would have been a big deal. And I think she was vying for the silver medal. She was like, okay, if you won't let me compete for the gold, like, I got to this point, give me a silver, like, so I can, like, share it with somebody. And the Olympic was like, no, if you got disqualified, that means that you're not getting any medal. So she officially
came in. Does the loser of the match who for the gold medal get silver?
Mm-hmm. So that's what she was wanting. And then they were like, no, you're just going to be put last. Like, you officially, if you look it up, she placed last in Olympic wrestling. Really? That's because she was disqualified, which is ridiculous. Because obviously, like, she should have been at least second, if not first, if they had allowed her to compete.
Especially because that's the other thing that's so frustrating about that, is it's not like she wasn't the right weight for the rest of her matches, and that she wasn't, like, didn't win those.
Yeah, she won those fair and square, so now it's completely invalidating them.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's silly.
All right. So that is going to bring us to our last person, who is Jordan Chiles, which I'm sure she's probably the most famous person out of all these. Because everyone knows Jordan Chiles and the U.S. Artistic Gymnastics team. So the situation with Jordan Chiles was that she had originally placed fifth in one of the individual events. And then her coach kind of appealed the difficulty score. So in case anyone didn't know how gymnastics is scored, there's, like, the difficulty score, and then it's called the execution.
Yeah.
So the difficulty is set in place based off of, like, the move you're doing, and then your execution, obviously how you execute it. So the, like, panel of judges had given her a difficulty score that her judge didn't think was adequate. She thought it should be a lot higher. So she appealed the score and was like, her difficulty score should be up. And so the judges, agreed. And so after the appeal happened and it was successful, that brought her from fifth to third place. So that bumped one of the Romanian gymnasts, Anna, out of medal contention.
And then that was very upsetting, because I think Romania, that was, like, one of their only medals. And they reappealed afterwards, saying that the appeal was made over a minute afterwards, and it has to be made within a minute after the routine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like, they kind of shot the, which I think, did that repeal the medal again? So Romania got the medal again.
She was supposed to give it back, yes.
And then, like, the US, basically, the US coaches were saying how they tried to appeal it within a minute, but, like, they couldn't find the judges. Like, the judges were, like, or, like, it, they couldn't have even done it. It wasn't feasible. But I think overall, it's, like, just kind of, like, it's a messy situation.
It really is. And then I found this quote. So, basically, what's happening now is that the United States, like, gymnastics, they're trying to not, they're trying to help Jordan Childs maintain, like, keep her medal. So they're like, don't give it back. Like, you're not giving it back, because there's proof that they submitted the appeal, the original appeal about the difficulty score, in 47 seconds. So that's within the 1 minute time frame. So there's, I don't know if there's video proof or something, like, there is indisputable proof that she did submit it in time. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, she shouldn't have to give her medal back. That being said, there's this quote, and it says that there is a rule that they do not allow for an arbitral award to be reconsidered even when conclusive new evidence is presented. So they're not even willing to look at the evidence that she was submitted. It was submitted in 47 seconds, mm-hmm. which is under a minute, because they've already done all this, like, back and forth thing. So obviously there's still stuff in the works. They're trying to help Jordan Childs keep her medal, because, like, it's a big deal to get bronze, especially for her, because I don't think she didn't get bronze in any of the other
she didn't get it individually. She get it because of the team though?
She got the team gold, but, like, an individual event's a big deal, and she didn't get one.
Also there was, like, nasty comments fired by the Romanians online about, and it was like, it just got very, like, toxic and, like, offensive quite fast, and it kind of makes it hard to be on, like, because I saw the video and it's like this young Romanian gymnast, like, she's not, like, she's quite young, isn't she?
Yeah,
being, like, really, like, pleased, because, like, that's a big deal, especially for a country that doesn't win, like, mm-hmm. medals very often, and then getting it, like, repealed, like, right as you celebrate is crazy. Like, that's really sad.
But then also think about Jordan having to give her medal back. Like, you, it's fully in your hands, and you have it, and you've been celebrating, you've been posting TikToks all over the place, and then people are like, oh, that's so embarrassing for her, she's been posting TikToks, like, bragging about it, as anyone would if you won a bronze medal at the Olympics, and then saying you have to give it back. And I think Jordan posted something on her Instagram story, like, I need time, like, I need it for my mental health, because this has just been insane. Mm-hmm. So the entire process, like, obviously it's still happening. Who knows if Jordan is going to get to keep her medal or not, because I think it speaks louder to some of the niche rules that they have at the Olympics, that, like, they're not willing to consider this new evidence, because it feels like there's a lot of, like, things in the Olympics, like, almost there's a rule book that us as viewers, we don't know about, but then when you hear about it, it's like, wow, there's, like, a lot that goes into it, and they've made a lot of these rules that, in all honesty, they don't make much sense. If you have evidence, you need to be able to consider it.
Yeah, and also there was this other gymnastics thing, and it wasn't so much a scandal as I found it very interesting. I think it was for Algeria, actually. They won a gold medal on poles, but it was actually a French trained gymnast who had a French mother and an Algerian father, and because of her Algerian father, she could get Algerian citizenship, and basically France had changed its, like, mandatory training for like the gymnasts who wanted to qualify to the Olympics away from, like, maybe their local place, and they had to come train in Paris, which would mean, like, moving, and, like, it might not even be feasible for a lot of people. And actually, like, the coaches who she was working with, who were doing really good work with her, like, their place got shut down, so she couldn't get trained anymore with them. So she's, like, was really good at, like, the bars, and I think it was the uneven ones, and applied for the citizenship for Algeria, qualified for the Olympics from Algeria, and won Algeria's first gold medal.
Wow.
Basically kind of, like, sticking it to the man, but also against France, because effectively they, like, made a bad decision, weren't treating their athletes that well.
Yeah.
And then, like, she went and, like, basically could have won a gold medal for France if they'd, like, been, like, more considerate, and then, like, but won it for Algeria.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird that, I mean, it's such an amazing, like, competition, the Olympics in general. Like, you're bringing together all these countries for, like, you know, who knew that sporting events could bring so many people together? But then in it, like, there's still these, like, scandals and stuff that are really interesting to talk about, because, like, they talk about some, like, social issues in a sense. So, like, you know, you didn't think that you'd be talking about it in relation to sports, but it brings up a lot of stuff that's good for a podcast. I'll say that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like that was an interesting discussion. It was very timely.
Yes.
But it'll be interesting for the Winter Olympics to see if there are any scandals then.
Yeah. Is that this year as well? Or next year?
That's next year. Every 2 years. But yeah, that was a good episode. I'm glad we got to do it after not seeing each other for, like, 2 months.
I know. It was crazy.
But yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And we hope you guys enjoyed.
Yes.